With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. We got to welcome in our Richmond audience, AM 910, FM 105.1 in the capital of Virginia, which is doing great. If you're listening all over D.C. on 106.7 The Fan, you know we tip our caps to you. Take us with you wherever you go. The Odyssey app, coast to coast. The big show, Logan Paulson joins us on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. Visit BetQL.com. I don't know why I thought about this, Logan, but we play the big show and you're just a large guy. And I guess I'm thinking about wrestling, but have you ever been in a fight before?
I've never been in a like street fight, but I've been in many a football fight.
Yeah, skirmish at training camp. Yeah, I've seen you get into some of those. It's just a lot of yelling and grabbing face masks. But have you ever been punched in the face?
No, I've not. You know, it's hard to imagine with my nose as crooked as it is, but never been punched in the face. I mean, my son, you know, you have kids, Danny, like Grant, you do too. Like, you know, like your kids, when they headbutt you in the face, that's about as close as I've gotten.
That's very painful, though.
Yeah, well, they'll get a little bit older. They'll just start throwing hands. They think it's fine. They think dad's invincible. And they'll box you on your ears and your nose and hit your eyes, all sorts of stuff, Logan.
Yeah, it's like every time my son hits me or like headbutts me, I'm always like, how do people do this for like a living as a boxer? It's pretty unbelievable.
It is amazing.
It hurts so much.
What do you think of the idea of cracking down on taunting, that we have to throw these flags for any perceived slights between players, because otherwise there could be these massive fights that everyone's worried about?
You know, I personally, like, don't love it. I think, you know, obviously you take her out to celebrations. I understand that. You want to kind of promote a certain kind of brand of football. The taunting thing, the stuff that I've seen get called, I think is a little bit borderline. You know, like football is an emotional, physical game. Like, guys are going to get chippy, and like that's part of it. I think that's part of what gives these guys their edge, and I understand what the NFL is trying to do, you know, but I personally don't love it, and I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they carry this rule on for a couple of years or if it's kind of a one-and-doneer.
Yeah, they're solving a problem that isn't really a problem. It's like shooting water at a house that's not on fire in case it catches fire
right,
one day.
Exactly.
So, look, let's get to the Washington football team here. Just kind of give me your thoughts and impressions. It was so much fun Thursday night, and Friday was fun just talking about it, and we let our imaginations run wild. I've watched the rest of the league have their week two right now. Kind of things have started to settle a little bit. Just give me your overall impressions here as you've had time to digest from last Thursday.
Well, I think the Washington football team is probably where they should be. And what I mean by that is a lot of people, I think, forget that this team was in like a full rebuild last year, you know, and then like kind of they caught lightning in a bottle, were able to make a run. I think they're a better football team. I think the roster is better. I think the personnel is better. I think the culture is better, all those things. However, I do believe that like they are kind of an average football team at this moment. And that's not a criticism of anybody in the roster. I think that's just kind of like objectively where they're at the moment. I think, again, they could get hot, they could go on a run, but I think they got a lot to overcome this year in terms of playing some really good football teams. And I think, you know, they're really fortunate, actually, I think, to be facing the Bills kind of where they're right now, because the Bills look like they're struggling pretty good too. So I think they're probably where they should be. Fans should feel good about it. You know, I think they're probably another year away from being in like that top 12 kind of team conversation, but I think they're doing a good job. Got a lot of respect for what Ron has done in such a short amount of time. I think the roster's good. Obviously, still room to improve, but yeah, that's kind of my general thoughts on them right now.
Logan, what are you seeing defensively? Why are they struggling so much?
Yeah, so I think it's kind of a myriad of things, but most specifically, I think the personnel is good. I think obviously everyone knows about the defensive line. I think when you watch the secondary guys in man-to-man coverage, which to me is the best way to evaluate secondary guys, they do a good job. You know, everyone looks at that LA game, from week one, and they say, oh, well, you know, Herbert threw for 300 yards, but he also threw, I think he was throwing into the most contested, he had the most contested throws of any quarterback from week one. And I think that speaks to the type of tight coverage that those guys are able to do in man-to-man situations. However, fast forward to week two against the Giants, a little bit more zone, saw a little bit more space, a little more issues in coverage, right? I think that is kind of to be expected. You know, when you think about it, step back and think about it, you know, in nickel, say Juice is a rookie, Williams is new, William Jackson III is new to the team this year, Bobby McCain is new, so you know, three of the five pieces are new. You know, there's going to be communication issues. There's going to be issues in terms of how guys see things and getting everyone on the same page. So I think, you know, that is one thing that I think is just going to get better as the season goes. And then I think the other thing is defensive line. You know, they got to kind of start playing at the level I think we all want and expect them to play at. But I thought last week was a good kind of first step in that direction. And I think that should be exciting for Washington football team fans.
Terrific football analyst and the international spokesman for the Mung Bean, Logan Paulson, joins us here on Grant and Danny. I've been waiting all segment to get that one in. Logan, kind of my weekly question here about Jamin Davis. What are you seeing? He had one nice standout play, I thought. Tackled a receiver short of the first down, I think forced a field goal. Just where is he now? And I see a lot of packages also where it's one linebacker on the field, kind of maximizing who they think their best guys are. Just kind of give me a state of the union there.
Yeah, so I think I'm glad you brought that up. You know, I think last week we saw a lot more like five defensive linemen fronts. I think that's the way you should be going. I think those are your best players. Like, I think Matt Ioannidis is better right now than the third linebacker. I think secondary-wise, you're very, very deep there. Obviously, there are some issues there, you know, in terms of what guys are really good at, but I think that's better than your linebacking group. So, yeah, get more of those guys on the field. I think that's the right way to approach it. With regards to Jamin Davis specifically, I thought week two compared to week one was a drastic improvement. And that's not saying a ton because I think, you know, Grant, you pointed out last time I spoke with you, like not a great performance by him kind of all around. And I think much better, kind of looked like he was kind of finding his sea legs a little bit, which is kind of the same progression he went through in the preseason. Now it's like, can he kind of get a third week under his belt? Can he look like he's even progressed even further? Can we start seeing flashes of something special in terms of linebacker play? And, you know, again, I don't want to see, you know, 20 snaps of perfect linebacker play. I'd like to just see some sparks. You know, I like to see a guy run around, you know, making tackles, showing up a little bit. Like, I know he's not going to overnight become, you know, the best linebacker in the NFL, but I want to see kind of some of that athleticism everyone's been talking about.
Logan Paulson, weekly appointment. We're going to have him on every Wednesday all season long at 3 o'clock right here on Grant and Danny to look ahead to the upcoming matchup. Right now we're just putting a bow on the Giants game. Through two games, Chase Young doesn't have any sacks. Now, I'm not a silly goose. I get that he's made some super impactful plays and he's helping some guys around him. But I also think it needs to be stated that as a rookie of the year last year on defense and a guy that a lot of people are talking about, I think irresponsibly, as a defensive player of the year this year, this is a slow start. And there have been some nice plays, but not nearly enough of them. What do you see from him? What's happening?
So I just want to get this out right now before we start that I think Chase Young is a good football player. Because I feel like anytime you criticize him in any capacity, everyone kind of freaks out about it. Okay,
but you're not allowed because he's the chosen one.
Absolutely.
But you may continue, sir.
Right.
Permission granted from the fan base.
Yeah. So I think he's a good football player. Like, again, like I wouldn't want to block him on a down-to-down basis. Like, he is good at football. However, there are some issues with his game that you'd like to see kind of come along a little bit. I think he's not as, like, one of the things, like, everyone just think back, go in your memory bank, think about Joey Bosa week one and how prolific and effective he was as a pass rusher. Just, like, his rush angle, he's always rushing half a man. He's got his three moves that he runs, and he runs them perfectly, exquisitely every time he does it. Chase is so raw in juxtaposition to him, right? And that is the standard everyone wants Chase to get to. They want him to be this player that is dominant down in and down out, you know, defensive player of the year, as a matter of fact. Those guys are special in terms of the consistency with which they rush with and the myriad of moves they can get to. So I would say, you know, like he's got to kind of, I think, look at himself in the mirror and say, like, I can improve in these areas. Like, how can I make myself more efficient as a rusher? Because sometimes I watch him rush, and I'm like, that is a wasted rep for you, you know? And I think, like, again, he's dominant in the run game. He shows up in a nice way. I think sometimes he gets a little loose with his gap discipline, you know, but when you got a horse, you know, you got to let him run. I think there's a little bit of that going on, but that would be my assessment of him. I think he's a good football player, tremendous upside, all of those things. That's the track for him in any way, but I think he can be more efficient as a rusher, more disciplined with his line, more sharp. He's got one, like I spoke to a guy who I have a lot of respect for. I said, you know, what do you think of Chase Young? He's an NFL coach, NFL offensive line coach. And he said to me, he's only got one move. So all my guys do all week is they practice that one move for Chase Young. And I heard that and I thought to myself, wow, you know, like that is something that if I'm Chase Young, I don't want to be hearing. If I'm a fan of Chase Young, I don't like hearing it. But when you watch the tape, I think it proves itself. And I think that's something that needs to get corrected.
I referenced this story yesterday, Logan, and I wanted to see how you remember it because you told me this a long time ago, and I don't remember the specifics. When you were in Atlanta, Taylor Heinicke played for Carolina, his only start there against you guys. He threw three picks. And the way you told me the story before was basically like you guys were on the sideline going, who on earth is this guy and why is he here? Am I exaggerating? Like, that game, what do you remember about that?
So I remember everyone was kind of talking about him, you know, small school guy, Old Dominion, scattered report. You know, when you're up at the team meeting, Dan Quinn's up there talking about this guy's probably going to start, Cam Newton's out. And he gets out there and he just didn't look sharp. He looked, you know, he's not a big guy. He's kind of diminutive stature. So you're standing on the sideline, used to seeing Cam Newton play quarterback for the Carolina Panthers, and he's a towering, imposing figure, and you kind of get the complete opposite of that. You know, and Heinicke, who's not a big, physically imposing guy, and he gets out there, and it just looks like he was having a really hard time running the offense. You know what I mean? Like, basically, the defensive game plan for Atlanta at the time was make sure Christian McCaffrey doesn't kill you, and then let's see what Heinicke can do. And Heinicke had a really hard time. But I'll say that the defensive front for Atlanta at the time was not very good, and they were able to get a ton of pressure on him because he held the ball too long. He wasn't quick with decisions. I think he hurt his elbow. Like, he broke his elbow or burst in his elbow, something like that. So, you know, he gritted out. He's a very tough and competitive guy, but he really had a lot of, you know, his lack of maturity showed up a lot in that game. Maturity is maybe the wrong word. Lack of experience is probably more like
it. So are you stunned that we're here now?
Well, it's just crazy to see him, you know, having seen that performance and then see him now. Like, I don't want to say he's a completely different player because he's obviously the same person, but he just is with such confidence, you know, like he's, like, that's the thing. Every time I leave watching him play, I'm like, that is a guy who believes in himself 1,000%. And that's not a guy that I saw in the first appearance in 2018 or whatever that was. Like, he looks completely different. Yeah, so I'm shocked. Every week I'm kind of like, there's no sign of that former player. It's like he's totally grown up. Like, life has matured him. And every time he gets out there and throws the football, I'm like, wow, like, that's an NFL quarterback, which is a pretty cool thing to say, and really a testament to him, you know?
Logan Paulson with us here, a couple more minutes. Let's look ahead to the Bills here. They're all, even though they scored 35 points against Miami, the offense still just hasn't quite looked right through a couple games. They got enough track record, enough deposits in the bank with Josh Allen, MVP candidate last year, Brian Daboll, Stephon Diggs and company, where you'd feel like they're going to get on track at some point. Just kind of go through what you expect from them this weekend, Logan, in terms of the offensive side of the football, and can this Washington defense start doing what we hope they're going to do?
Yeah, so I think to say Josh Allen, is struggling, I think, is probably a little bit of an understatement. Like, he just looks like a rookie playing quarterback. I don't know if he's trying to force stuff down the field. You know, defenses have made a really concerted effort to take away Stephon Diggs, who's kind of been his number one target, and kind of force him through his progression. He just seems super uncomfortable with that. Like, the second the first read's not there, he doesn't transition. His feet don't transition well to the next read. As a result, he's inaccurate. He's kind of running around trying to make plays off schedule. But he's not doing it as well as he did it last year. And I really think, you know, like, they have good pieces in there. You know, to be fair, the offensive line has struggled tremendously over the first 2 weeks. You know, they gave up almost 20 pressures week one against Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they had like 5 or 6 holding calls. Last week they didn't have a player against Miami. They didn't have a player grade above 70 by PFF ranking. And PFF, like, 70 is like a starter. So obviously there's room to be improved there. So maybe that's factoring into it. But I think the offense struggles are almost exclusively, you can point to Allen and say, hey, like, he doesn't seem to be meshing well with Emmanuel Sanders, the new number two receiver there, who's a very talented guy. They've had some long kind of foul ball misses between the two of them that would have changed the complexion of both the Steelers game and the Miami game. They probably would have put up 60 against Miami if they had been clicking a little bit, right? And then they probably would have won the Pittsburgh game, right? So I understand what you're saying. Like, they are very close to having something very special, but it just seems Allen is just off. You know, I don't want to say regression because, like, it's just week two. There's not enough data points to say that, but he just does not look like the guy that we saw last year who was super dominant. So what I would expect is for them to try and take the game out of his hands a little bit this week, run the football, a little bit more play action. And I think I would expect him to run it based on Daniel Jones' success last week. So I would expect him to kind of modify the game plan because, quite frankly, like, that defense they've got there is tremendous. So they just need to, like, kind of get out of that defense's way. And I think they can do that by running play action and running the quarterback a little bit more.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that defense, Logan. That's not last year's defense that gave up more than 30 points, I think, five times, including the AFC title game loss to the Chiefs. You could do whatever you wanted to them in a lot of games last year. I remember that Tennessee game early in the season when they gave up 42 points and everybody had a fantasy day against Buffalo, but they've been really good through a couple games. I think part of that is playing Pittsburgh's offense that ain't sweet, but other than that, I've been impressed with their pass rush and how good they've been against the run. Tough test here this week for the WFT.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the most impressive thing is the pass rush, at least when you turn the tape. Like, they've got a whole bunch of draft capital invested there. Evan Essa, second-round pick last year out of Iowa. The kid from Miami this year, his name escapes me.
Russo, I think.
You know, yeah, Russo, thank you. Had Oliver, first round pick from a couple years ago. Jordan Hughes, obviously, has been one of the best pass rushers in the NFL for the last decade or so. And, like, you know, those guys are all starting to come alive, and the defensive coordinator just seems to kind of found his groove. Like, he's calling these kind of really awesome pressure packages. The defenses, the back end are disguising coverages in this great way, making it hard for quarterbacks to get a read. They got to give the ball another pat, allowing that rush to get home. The linebackers, I think Milano's his name, and Edmonds is the other guy. Tremendous athletes, physical football players. They great, like Milano, great in coverage, great in the pass rush. Like, they show up in a demonstrative way. It just seems like that group, you know, like some people, they just get hot. Some people get hot at the end of the season. They are on fire right now. They're playing with tremendous confidence, and I think are going to, you know, in my mind, are going to be a tremendous challenge for the Washington football team offense.
Logan Paulson on Grant and Danny. My biggest concern about this game is Allen as a ball carrier. Daniel Jones shredded this team in zone read. I mean, it was as if they didn't prepare. Like, they had no answer for that, and Josh Allen is so much better at it than Daniel Jones is. How do they combat that?
Yeah, so I think when you watch the film, in terms of what Daniel Jones was doing, you can see that the guys weren't respecting the Washington football team defensive line, secondary linebackers, weren't respecting the quarterback keeping the football, which is kind of silly because obviously he can do that. He's done it very well versus the Washington football team. But I think the scheme was there. I think guys just need to respect the quarterback as a ball carrier. It's a lot easier when it's Josh Allen. Like you said, he's been much more prolific in his career running the football, much more dynamic. And I think this group of defenders now, after being burned last week, I think they've probably learned their lesson and are ready to go. And, you know, like I said, I thought the game plan was there. Guys just weren't staying home and weren't doing what they were supposed to, which is, I think, you know, kind of coinciding with what Ron has been saying. Guys need to grow up and be more mature when they're playing defense in this scheme, and hopefully we'll see that this week.
Logan, do the best, buddy. Can't wait to talk to you next week, pal. See ya.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
What's for dinner tonight, and is it some type of leaf with some type of ground beef mixed around
quinoa
in some type of a cast iron skillet?
Dude, I mean, it's like you're in my house. It's like you know me so well.
Well, that's literally been the answer every single time.
Well, I mean, dude, you know, I'm a simple man. Like, I don't eat for taste anymore. And, like, those are things that are just easy to make, you know.
Taste is amazing, Mel.
Yeah. Put it in there, mix it up, ready to roll.
You don't eat for taste?
We only get 5 senses, Logan. You know what I mean? Like, you're just waving your hand at one of the five.
It's true. Well, I do think that part of it is the fact that I broke my nose, 7 or 8 times? Oh. And it makes a very pronounced right turn. So smell is a big factor in taste, and I can't smell anything. So I think that might help me on my journey to eat just the most boring food of all time.
It's not a fun journey, but it's the right journey. It's the journey we all deserve.
Good for you,
Logie. Thank you, buddy. We'll be listening to pregame with you and Craig this weekend.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate
we'll see
it.
You, bud.
There's Logan Paulson, longtime tight end in the NFL, including here with the Washington football team. Next on Grant and Danny, our power rankings. We do them every Wednesday, the top five teams in football. Let's see where we agree and disagree. Nice thing is, after really team number one, there's a lot of 1-1 teams, 2-0 teams that could be options for G&D.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
.345, our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Going blitzing at 4 o'clock today. We'll introduce a new segment. We're going to do it all football season long. We've already had to change the name of the segment. We've already had to get production redone for the segment. Originally, the segment was going to be called the Weekly Fitzproval Rating. The idea being, we're in D.C. Everyone always does these like presidential approval ratings politically. So we said, oh, Ryan Fitzpatrick, he'll be the quarterback here. We'll approve or disapprove of how Fitz is playing on a week-to-week basis. It could be kind of fun. Well, the Fitz era.
Long running era.
Lasted like 7 passes. So now it's the Heineke approval rating. So we're just going to go, because it could be a carousel this year, the QB approval rating.
It was so naive of us to think that it wouldn't be a carousel, because based on every year since Kirk Cousins left, it's been nothing short of a carousel. I think they've started, I think I have this number correct, 2 trillion quarterbacks in the last 4 years.
I think that's the right
number. It's about that, right?
That's absolutely ludicrous.
No, coach, it's a big number is my point.
But at 4:25 today, we will give you your NFL quarterback, QB, Washington football team. That's too many words. Let me go back. I'm going to do the WFT QB approval rating. Agree, disagree. Approve, disapprove. That's what it is. I think that's the way.
You're basically saying give us thumbs up or thumbs down. It's what they do for the president. And, yeah. and that was the idea, right? Where they don't ask any complicated questions. You just go, do you approve of the job, fill in the blank, whoever the president is doing? And you can say yes, then it's an approve. If you say no, then it's disapprove. And then they tell you that every week, like it's an important thing.
So we will post a poll during that segment. It'll only last during the segment. And at the end of the segment, each week we'll have our QB approval rating. And we'll know if people are approving or disapproving, and we'll take calls on that.
Very scientific.
I think it's the best way to do this. All right, let's get to our NFL power rankings. We'll do these every single Wednesday on the show. We'll give you the top five teams in football. We'll start at number one because I don't think there's a whole lot of intrigue at this point at the top of the board. But Danny, why don't you lead the way?
Defending champs, Tampa Bay. They've looked the most impressive of anybody through a couple weeks, even though they beat up on Atlanta. They have looked awesome on offense and defensively. They're getting after you. They have the number one team.
Yeah, Tom Brady's on pace for over 70 touchdown passes.
It's pretty good.
Pace is going to cool, clearly. But they're clicking on all cylinders. I did see Antonio Brown was added to the COVID list. So they've got a COVID case in the building, at least one. Hopefully there's not a huge spread. They were 100% vaccinated, I believe, as a team. It's one of the big stories of the preseason. I think they were the first team to get there. So ideally it doesn't end up being a major issue for them. But yeah, the Bucs have been marvelous. They look like far and away the best team in that division. The Panthers are going to be 3-0 after they beat the Texans tomorrow night, I would think. But Tampa Bay, plus 25 in margin so far. Barely squeaked out the win against the Cowboys, though. I mean, they could very well be 1-1. And they won going away against Atlanta. But the Falcons were only down 3 in the fourth quarter with the football at one point before Matt Ryan threw the first of his two pick sixes to the same guy.
He had two pick sixes to the same guy.
That has to have happened less than 10 times in history, right?
Yeah, there have been more triple plays in perfect games in Major League Baseball history than that. Having happened.
Number two team in your power rankings.
Number two for me, the Los Angeles Rams. This is confirmation bias here. I think they're going to be really, really, really good this year. Survived a scare on the road, 10 a.m. start time for them, headed east to Indianapolis. Offensively, you've seen the Matt Stafford-Cooper Kupp connection explode well over 100 yards in each of his first two games with multiple receiving touchdowns. I think that offense will be infinitely better as the season goes, as Stafford gets more and more comfortable with McVay. And defensively, they're not the 85 Bears. They're not going to stop you from doing anything, but they're going to disrupt you. They're going to be turnovers. They're going to be quarterback hits. They're going to make some big plays on defense. They're my number two team.
I'm going based only on, like, I woke up from a seven-year coma the day the season kicked off on Thursday Night Football with Bucks Cowboys.
No priors. Good for you.
Nothing matters other than just how you've played and who you've played. I've got the Raiders number two. I think they've got a really impressive resume.
They do.
Beat the Ravens, Monday Night Football, short week, Sunday in Pittsburgh, they beat the Steelers. Now, this is not what my top five is going to look like a few weeks from now, probably. But by the way, the Raiders play the Dolphins at home without Tua this week.
Great chance to be 3-0.
They should absolutely be 3-0. The Broncos probably get there as well, but if you get a little luck and the Chiefs lose to the Chargers, you could be two games in the clear of Kansas City in the early going, which is a big deal. I've got the Raiders number two.
Kansas City's third for me. And this is, again, some confirmation bias, but it's also the way I thought of it was this. How many more teams am I going to start to put ahead of them where if Kansas City played them this weekend, I'd pick Kansas City to win the football game? There are a bunch of 2-0 teams. There are a bunch of teams that have maybe played better at times than Kansas City has. It took the flukiest of the fluky, a Pat Mahomes bad play interception. Usually he uses horseshoes, rabbit's feet, and all sorts of other stuff to exercise those kinds of chicanery, and they always go to touchdowns to Tyreek Hill. It took a miracle for the Ravens to end up beating them. Kansas City still number three, but not necessarily due to their achievement to this point.
I've got the Rams at number three on my list. Loved the road win against the Colts coming off of a emphatic home victory over Chicago. Quarterback play is important to me. I'm going with two guys who are MVP candidates through two games, and Brady and Carr at the top of my list. Stafford's been fantastic, save for maybe one throw for LA, a bad interception, so I've got them third. Number four on my list I think will be another surprise for you, Danny. I'm going to go with the Arizona Cardinals. Again, this is just based on, I woke up the morning the season started. Nothing else matters. Arizona blew out Tennessee, who subsequently beat Seattle. I know you can't really go off of, well, you lost to this team and you beat this team, so they're better than... That's not what I'm saying. What I am telling you is, I think the Titans are pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to stink this year. Derrick Henry just went ham sandwich last week, and they came back and beat a good Seattle team. In Seattle, oh, by the way. Arizona beat them, and then the Vikings played a nearly perfect half, and we're still down at halftime against Arizona. Kyler Murray has a 9 spot in the big throw category that Pro Football Focus does for the impressive throws that quarterbacks make. Now, he also has one of the highest totals of, like, interceptable passes, so he's going to have to reel it in a little bit. But he's making hero plays. I've got them fourth.
Four for me, the Raiders, everything you said. First 2 wins of the season, as impressive as anybody's first 2. This one stat, though, prevented me from putting them a little bit higher. This has stuck with me. Over the last 3 seasons, the Raiders are 5-1 in weeks 1 and 2, with one blemish coming a couple years ago. In all other games, they're 12-17. That kind of stuck with me. They've gotten off to good starts, and we've been like, the Raiders! And then they've sort of petered out a little bit under Gruden and company. I think this year may be different, though. They look better to me than they did in those other years, but something to monitor.
So I think that what you just said is what's going to happen with them to some extent. I picked them to make the playoffs. Obviously, I think they're going to be a 10 or so win team.
Mm-hmm.
But what we've seen so far is not actually what they are, probably. But we're coming at this thing differently, right?
Yep.
I don't care what you're going to be in 3 weeks. It's 2 games so far. Who are the best 5 teams? Which is why my number 5 team, the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers are 2-0. They've played sensational defense, and Sam Darnold's played well. They beat the Jets. 19-14 game wasn't really that close. Jets got a late score there. And then in week 2, they undressed the Saints. And just unbuttoned them and pulled their pants down, took their shirt off, and they sat them on a chair off to the side. They did whatever they wanted.
Painted them like one of the French girls.
Absolutely. They laid there, and they had the little Heart of the Ocean on, and the Panthers' bangs were hanging just over their eye just so, as they were coloring on that little pad with the little pencil. And then they went to that little nice car, like the 1913 Model T Ford.
Oh, yeah, very nice.
They had the handprint on the windshield with all the steam in the car. You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
I smell what you're cooking.
26-7, they beat the Saints. They're going to pummel the Texans tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
They're going to be 3-0. First real test for them, not that this team's great, but they're pretty good. You'll level up, is the Cowboys. They play Dallas next week. Then they got the Eagles, the Vikings. We'll know in a few weeks if they're authentic or not, but right now, just based on the 2 games we've seen, they're number 5 for me.
Yeah, none of those games are unwinnable. They could have a very nice record, and you do that long enough, you end up with a nice record. They're my number 5 team as well. I thought about Arizona, thought about San Francisco here. San Francisco's quality of win didn't butter the biscuit for me. The way they beat Philadelphia and the way they beat Atlanta, that's kind of a so what thing. Carolina's win over New Orleans is what put them up there for me. Now, I know New Orleans, it was weird week 1 where they beat the snot out of Green Bay, and I know we're doing the transitivity rule. The way they shoved it on that offense, I thought they could win a shootout going back and forth. They give the ball to McCaffrey, DJ Moore and company. They got nice offensive pieces, and Sam Darnold's played the part pretty well. What that defense did, I did not think they had that in the bag. I didn't think they had that club. That was one of the best performances of the year. That's got me thinking that they're legit.
At the end of this year, season is done. Dust is settled. I think my top 5 is going to look in some order. Rams, 49ers, Bucks, Packers, out of the NFC competing for the nod. And then in the AFC, if Buffalo gets its act together, maybe. But I would say Chiefs, maybe Ravens, depending on what Baltimore can do with its health. I thought I had them read like a book. I thought I knew what Baltimore was. Too many injuries, defense is going to be in shambles.
Mm-hmm.
That win over the Chiefs has me rethinking everything. That was a
so gutty,
stunningly impressive victory. Where you start to wonder, maybe they're one of these nothing matters teams. Like maybe John Harbaugh just mixes the potions and they go 11-6 and Lamar Jackson's incredible all season long, even without running backs and important members of their secondary.
I think in 5 weeks, I'm going to be including teams like Green Bay. I think Seattle rebounds from that fluky loss where they were completely in control of that Tennessee game. Taunting penalty was major in that one too. I wonder where New Orleans is going to be. I don't have a great feel for them because we talk about degrees of variance. Week 1, the performance, the toast of the league, what they did in week 1. What they did in week 2 was just fall down into a pit and look like they'd never met each other and just a bunch of guys wearing the same laundry. I wonder what they're going to be in a few weeks.
Seattle, this weekend, they play the Vikings in Minnesota. As far as individual props go, I don't know how the Vikings are going to cover Tyler Lockett or DK Metcalf.
Nobody has yet.
But they don't have corners.
Yeah.
Their number 1 corner right now is Bashaud Breeland, who's been really, really bad. Like that game looks like a nice matchup for Seattle to get back on track and start to become the team you're talking about. Our double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. And we are going to give you your first ever Grant and Danny QB approval rating coming up at 425. You're listening to The Fan. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
So I found something that I have become quickly obsessed with, and I'm over talking about it. I've already gone into CK's office to talk to him about it. I've already sent my wife a message that we're going to end up talking about this. I also pre-apologize for how annoying I'm going to be about this thing.
Can I ask a question before you tell me what it is?
Please.
How many days between now and a month from now are you going to bring it up, do you think?
With her or with us? With you and me?
Me. Like, do I have to deal with this?
You're going to have to deal with it, probably.
All right, what do you got?
So, not as much as my wife, though. So, it's this company called SMBX, okay?
Lots of letters.
It's too many letters, in my humble opinion. Here's what they do. And I found this out because there's a local spot in Washington, D.C. called Maketo, all right? And what they are is this restaurant group founded by this like award-winning chef who's all kinds of awesome and yada, yada, yada. Neighborhood spot, really, really cool. Instead of going to the bank, right? Like, let's say I'm Grant Paulson, I'm a business. And I walk into the bank and I go, hello, Mr. Banker. Here are my financials. Here's what I want. I want a loan of, for the sake of argument, $100,000 because I'm going to build a patio or I'm going to build more beer taps or put TVs in or whatever you want to do. Bank says, yes, no, maybe so, whatever, right? What this does instead of going to the bank, they go to the crowd. They go to the people who live in the neighborhood or live wherever. And you go, do you want to buy a little tiny share in this company? This Maketo, for example, I could spend $10, $100, $1,000 to help revitalize this thing, this local spot that I really like, and I make my money back plus interest. It's an investment. It's the same thing the bank does, but I get to do it on a small scale. So there's a couple things that happen. Number one, if I spend $100, I'm not talking about life-changing money, but if I spend $100, at the end of a few, you know, however many months, I end up with $107.50. I know it doesn't sound like much, but a 7.5% return is pretty good on stuff. You hope those kinds of steady investments exist. That's number one. Number two, I'm supporting a local thing. Instead of just some faceless corporate behemoth somewhere else, it feels nice, the idea that I can support my local team. So SMBX is what it's called, and I'm going to over-talk about it.
I actually love the idea. I don't think it'll be annoying to hear you talk about it necessarily. Do you plan on investing in anything?
Yeah. I'm probably going to throw like $20.
That was my next question. Is this like some political campaign grassroots where I can throw $4 at it?
Yeah.
Or do you have to? Is there like $1,000?
I think it's a $10 minimum.
And how do you get your money back exactly?
So it is I'm going to overshow you all of this stuff, and you're going to become tired of it. So you're going to regret every question that you ask. But it's basically the same thing that a government would do or a bank would do. It's a 5-year, 4-year, 3-year, depends on the institution, bond, where they go, we're going to take this money, invest, potentially increase our profits and have the business do better, and we'll pay you back with interest in installments over the course. So it's just like a loan to the bank, like a mortgage, for example. It's imagine you went to get your mortgage to buy your house,
yeah.
And instead of going to a bank, you went to 50,000 people who contributed $100, and you would slowly but surely be able to pay that back to the bank, or in this case, the bank is a bunch of different people who are helping their local merchants out.
Seems like it can't go wrong.
It can, potentially.
I'm doing
of course.
A bit.
Yeah. I mean, of course there's risk. That's why I'm not going to invest tens of thousands of dollars.
There's risk in everything.
Yeah.
I like it. I don't think it's going to be a Danny over talk about situation. I think it's an interesting enough thing that people might be intrigued.
I'm going to go bother Ryan during the commercial break. Like, I'm going to talk about this a lot.
Ryan probably doesn't want to hear about it. But your wife, she may want to hear about it.
I don't think she does. She didn't respond. And we've been corresponding throughout the day. The power's out at our house. So she's been telling me stuff because there was like a thunderstorm, I guess, that's going on. And I included this information in there. She didn't respond to it.
Speaking
of
investment,
I get the sense.
Do you want to hear what I'm toying with the idea of doing?
Yes, so much.
Guy.
I want to hear about it.
This is a wacky. This is dead serious, by the way. I am toying with the idea with a handful of other people in buying a house in Green Bay, Wisconsin, near Lambeau Field. The point of this expenditure would be those houses, Airbnbs, it's like through the roof during the football season. So I'm going to WFT Lambeau probably next month, it looks like. Me and my wife are going to fly out. My sister and her husband are having their first baby. And so we're going to do like a little bit of a dadchler. He's a big Packers fan, so we're going to bring him out there and go to a game, do the Green Bay
thing. Cool.
Anyway, as we started looking at these houses and like just getting a hotel, there's no hotels in Green Bay, basically. There's like two or three hotels. You got to stay in Appleton,
Madison,
Wisconsin,
or Appleton, yeah, or something, right.
Milwaukee, people stay, like all this stuff. So the idea is you rent or Airbnb houses around the stadium, which comparative to here are very cheap. Now, I can't afford one because, I can't afford one. But if a handful of us together get in and buy one of these houses, and then we all kind of divvy up the money as the year goes on, theoretically, you can pay in a football season for like some of what you need. Now, the rest of the year, I'm not really sure what the game plan is there. We haven't quite gotten to that part.
If you can break even on that, you've got an appreciating asset there.
Exactly. But if you're in near the stadium, I mean, it's like thousands of dollars for a fall weekend. And so, people will come and they just like to this house and they all divvy it up. So anyway, it's early stages, but it's fairly a legitimate thing that we're talking about.
I'm going to tell you that's a tremendous idea.
I don't think it's a bad one.
The logistics of management are an obstacle. So like who's cleaning it, who's dealing with, who's the on-site property manager kind of person.
My wife has some family in Wisconsin.
Here we go. Here we go.
One of those family members is a real estate agent.
No.
Knows the area very well. So we would tap into her knowledge.
This plan and me have a lot in common. You know what? Legs. We both have legs.
It's got legs. I don't know if it's... I will know better when I get back from Green Bay. We're going to do some scouting. We're going to...
Do some recon.
Walk around the neighborhood.
Yes. Look at a for sale sign and say, we'll take it.
But, the other thing is, we all have like an allotment of money to throw down that isn't that great, right? So you have to involve probably more, like you don't want 10 people with a say in anything. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So we got to figure out some of the deets on this. Like it's too bad an adult can't swoop in and do a lot of the heavy lifting here. Who's got more money? But just early. We're just thinking out loud here.
What an investment idea.
I don't know, man. We'll see. I'm going to the Packers and the football team, and I just got my...
Because you can charge people to go potty. You can charge people for the driveway, for like parking near the stadium,
totally.
If you want.
Parking.
Or you can just do Airbnb altogether and say, are you a fan of the Bears,
Speaking
fan of whoever
of which,
you go in?
We just got our tailgating passes done to go to someone's house. So we have like food at their house, bathroom at their house, park at their house. And we tailgate in their lawn.
How much is it?
My wife did it, so I'm not really sure. Isn't that great, though?
I bet you it's a better deal than, parking a normal home game.
Are you kidding me? No question. I parked there and used the bathroom and eaten for like $10 before. I don't know if that's the one we're doing or not, but yeah, I'm really excited. All right, let me sneak in a quick secondary double play here for you. McDonald's plans to drastically reduce the plastic in its Happy Meal toys worldwide by 2025. The Burger Giant, this is via the AP, said Tuesday. No, they said Tuesday. I just coughed while I said Tuesday. It's not a weird word. They said Tuesday that it's working with toy companies to develop new ideas such as three-dimensional cardboard superheroes.
Hmm.
Kids can build maybe some board games. McDonald's toys are dead. They're dead.
Bummer,
I'm not
man.
Saying this isn't environmentally smart.
No, I know. I get it.
I'm not saying this isn't the right way to go. I just know that I am fat today because I collected all of the Dalmatians.
I mean, that'd be fair to say.
Thank you,
fat
Coach.
Today because we got that last Beanie Baby, right? Like,
yeah.
You needed all the toys. I needed the superhero. I don't have this guy. I want to play Monopoly or whatever.
Yeah, I play
it was.
Monopoly.
Now you can't get plastic toys as of 2025. They're going to do that. This is a real thing. Three-dimensional cardboard superheroes. I don't want a three-dimensional cardboard superhero.
Yeah.
You know what that sounds like to me, Coach? Trash. Sounds like something I'll toss out with my carton that my fries were in.
I wouldn't say that.
So
I get it, but that's a bummer.
Remember how cool it was to get
yes.
a toy at McDonald's
of
in your Happy Meal?
Of course I do. After youth sports on a weekend, my dad's just so tired, just bleary-eyed, drags me to McDonald's just in time for breakfast, just in time before 10:30. Even though they had the food at 10:32, they would throw it out rather than serve it to you. Of course I remember getting the toy.
425 QB approval rating. Next, your Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.